This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
No. This is the Drifters. I think this is awesome. The one that was used in Elf.
Hear those treetop, listen, children, listen.
I'm going to play a little Christmas music in the next hour. I will not feature this song, but I have great, great songs, about 13 or 14 of them picked out. And I told Sue, we'll see if we can stick to this. It's easy to say I'm not going to talk a lot during the next hour, but to make that a reality, Sue, I'm going to have to keep my, you know, lips from flapping. But
yeah,
I do want to let
sure.
the music do the talking in the next hour. So you weren't here last week. Let me run down a story here that we talked about on Thursday and Friday. And you brought this to my attention this afternoon, that there's an update in our local paper at STL Today. And this has to do with Diane Valenti. Diane Valenti is the St. Louis County Clerk. Now, you might remember my councilman on the council, Dennis Hancock.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who replaced Tim Fitch. Tim Fitch used to be there. So Dennis, innocently, I think, okay, tried to hire his stepdaughter, Holly Galati, in August. And that got flagged as, you know, not allowed,
right.
But that's against the Constitution. So, you know, that became a big court deal. Who's right? Who's wrong? All this time has gone on. So last week, we found out that the St. Louis County Prosecutor's Office, which is still run by Wesley Bell, who's mm-hmm. going to Congress, and he's there until January 2nd, had a grand jury hear the case of the county clerk, and they accused her of modifying personnel records and falsely stating that Hancock's stepdaughter was only a volunteer. They say that she didn't act alone and did so, quote, with the purpose to defraud. So, Sue, just to give you perspective here, and Jane came on Thursday to talk about this.
I was going to say, what Jane
said?
Oh,
she was fired up. So when this happened, here's the thing that's most amazing about it. We talk about these county council disputes all the time, and the numbers are a little bit more favorable to sanity now because of the way things have changed. But there's still a couple of crazy people on there, even most prominently Lisa Clancy, who's the most vocal kook progressive. Every member of the county council was outraged by this move by Wesley Bell's office. Every one of them.
Wow.
Every one. All six were like, this is unbelievable. Diane Valenti was just trying to do her job, right? So I don't know why. Now this has resulted from the grand jury in a charge. So her attorney says, this is ridiculous. These were people trying to do their daily jobs. Who did she defraud? The indictment was kept under seal until Valenti was served a summons. So we didn't know all the details until today. Now it's public. I guess the case will appear in the court records as soon as clerks can file it. There's a hearing set for January 15th. So as you read down just a little bit here, you know, you'll see some of the references from the council members. Like Shalonda Webb says, you know, Sam Page is not acting alone. Wesley Bell, someone I had come to trust and the people of our community depended on, has found himself as a willing accomplice. Now, Wesley issued a statement on Friday saying, no, this is nothing to do. There are two things that happened, the Valenti thing and then also the dispute about which prosecutor is the replacement.
Right. Who's going to be
the replacement? You might have missed this. So the governor won that battle on Friday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And Wesley Bell came out with a statement that said, oh, you know, I support this person, worked in my office. He was fully supportive. So this is weird. I don't know what's going on here. She attended the council meeting on Friday. But one of the things that's awesome in this story is the attorney basically says, this is going away, you know, as soon as the new prosecutor's in there, because he's quoted as saying any normal prosecutor will not file this as a case.
So I feel strange.
In many cases, too, I always feel like there's something else here.
Right.
And if there's something in the records that show that there was a crime.
Wait, what did Deb Bell say about that case on Friday? I know he said, okay, the governor appointed the prosecutor.
He says that there, essentially his statement says there's no collusion. So I was not colluding with Sam Page in any of these recommendations. But he didn't really explain why he felt that the office should move forward with the grand jury and now with this charge.
And what did Jane say? Did you say she went off?
Yeah. She says a bunch of nonsense and Wesley Bell and Sam Page are
of
to be
course.
Embarrassed for themselves. It's again, when you have every member of that county council coming out and saying something's not right here, that should tell you something in and of itself. So I feel badly for Diane Valenti, who's got to go through this at Christmas. Again, I'll leave the window open for additional evidence.
Yes.
But Sue, I don't know if you noticed, we actually have real crime that's going on in our community. And
yeah,
this is something that they want to waste, you know, resources on. That's baffling. It really is. Christmas Eve edition of Sue's News, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get to it.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
How many people you think we got? Like two, three people listening at this point?
I'm going to say five.
There's about 100 on the stream right now.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Oh, well, all right, that back. And I hope you all are enjoying my Bulldog sweatshirt.
I did say,
sweater.
I even said
sweater,
to Becky
ugly.
Today, I said, I know there's only, I've spent so much effort and energy on my Christmas music. I said, I know there's only going to be like three people listening, but I care about it. Okay?
I understand. Well, you guys, it's National Eggnog Day. Anybody? Mark, eggnog, yes or no?
We went over this a short time ago. Maybe you weren't here when that happened. I'm okay. I mean, I don't think I've had it in a long time. Fred is the connoisseur.
Oh,
Fred loves it.
Is that right?
Yes.
What did he say?
He drinks it by the gallon,
oh my
I think,
gosh.
Essentially.
The man likes dairy.
Yeah.
I think we've established this.
That's a good point.
Yes.
The word yes is not enough. Hell yes.
Yes.
Love eggnog.
Yeah, Ethan loves it, too. You did make that clear.
That's very interesting. I don't mind it, but I don't like to drink calories. I know that sounds crazy.
No,
I figure I'd rather
you know what, Sue? Not all of us can look like you, okay?
Well, yes, you can if you want to. I don't know if that's a plus. All right, it's National Eggnog Day, so go out and get some. A little bit of nutmeg on there.
Nutmeg, yeah.
Yes,
I was
going to
ask about that.
And you could get the real little nutmeg and scratch it, and scrape it and do your own fresh ones instead of the nutmeg from, you know, the spice jar. And boy, is that good.
I believe I put a little nutmeg, I have to think about this, in my French toast recipe.
Oh, nice.
Right? Yeah.
That's a nice, that's nice. All right, there is a story out today from NASA that they sent an object closer to the sun than has ever been done before. This thing is called the Parker Solar Probe. It launched in 2018, and it came, and I know this sounds ridiculously far, it came within 3.8 million miles of the sun's surface. But there's a guy called Jake Westlake from NASA. Then he had a really good analogy. He said, now, if the sun and the earth were at opposite ends of a football field, the Parker probe would be, quote, on the 4-yard line.
Look,
that's pretty
wow.
close.
I had to Google this. I could lie and make it seem like I knew this. But we are 91.4 million miles away from the sun.
Yes.
That was how far?
3.8.
That's close.
And that thing is nothing to mess with.
No. I wonder how big the sun looks from there.
Oh, they hope to have
that's
photos.
A good point.
But all I saw this morning, Ethan, was like somebody's rendering of what they thought it might look like. So hopefully they'll release some. The probe's entire purpose is to get close-ups of the sun, and this one was a record breaker. This is as close as anything purposefully sent has ever gone. 4-yard line, people. Not bad for NASA.
So Ethan just raised a question that I was curious about. Do you know how much larger than the Earth the sun is, Sue?
No, I don't.
109 times wider than our planet.
Meaning
you could line up 109 Earths across the diameter of the sun. It's so large that around 1.3 million Earths could fit inside its
body.
What?
Insane.
Wait, what?
1.3 million Earths could fit inside the sun?
That should kind of tell you something right
there. Wow. Isn't that, that's a serious
makes your brain hurt,
I'm curious what, I mean, I guess to continue studying it and whatnot, but I'm kind of like, I mean, I'm curious of like what the benefit of even, obviously there's always going to be research and wanting to understand more, but I'm kind of like, what's the point? Like, what are you going to do if you get there? There's nothing that it accomplishes.
Well, I think that there would be answers scientifically to those questions.
Probably.
You know, some of this might have to do with whatever the future might hold on Mars and inhabit other planets.
Fair.
I don't know.
Plus, it's
I guarantee you one thing. Our tax dollars are being used. I promise you that.
Well, and it's a huge source of energy. Think about that. That thing's so big that we use it here to supply energy. It's kind of crazy. All right, there is a story out today with some pretty big automotive news, and you may have heard this. Honda and Nissan are considering a merger.
Yeah.
If these two Japanese automakers did merge, it would create the world's third largest car company, at least in revenue. Now, numbers one and two, but I saw different lists. This story was talking about the fact numbers one and two are Volkswagen and Toyota. Number five is Ford. Number six is GM. Number seven is Honda. Eight is Tesla. Number three is Stellantis, which owns Jeep, Ram, and Chrysler. And number four is Mercedes-Benz. But then you Google it again and go by different numbers, and it's a totally different list. But still, the combining of these two would be huge.
Was Nissan on the list?
Nissan.
No, that's the other company.
I know, but you said Honda was at seven.
Yeah, it was further down.
It was further down. Okay, gotcha.
So when I read about this yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, one of the things that they mentioned is that the reputation of Nissan hasn't been the same since Carlos Ghosn left. And there's a great documentary. Actually, I guess there's a couple. So on Netflix, there's a documentary called Fugitive, The Curious Case of Carlos Ghosn. I think his name is Ghosn. G-H-O-S-N. It's an S sound.
Got it.
And it's a fascinating story. I mean, this dude escapes from Japan. They have him basically held prisoner, and he sneaks out. I don't want to tell you how, but it's an awesome story. And then Apple TV Plus has a four-part documentary called Wanted, The Escape of Carlos Ghosn. So that's another one to watch out there. But they attributed some of the issues that Nissan has with that whole incident.
Well, that's going to be really interesting. We'll see if this happens. Honda and Nissan execs say this will help in creating new technologies, especially in the transition from fossil fuels. And I said something to Mike, who said that Nissan, he said Honda has actually developed, it's not nitrogen. What's the other source of that you can drive? Ugh, I shouldn't have opened my mouth before I said that. It's not nitrogen, people.
Hydrogen? I don't know.
Maybe it is hydrogen.
I'll take things you can make bombs out of for $500,
Sue. On a semi-separate note, Mercedes-Benz, you know, you brought them up.
Yes.
One of their top dogs just retired after 50-something years with the company. I guess it may have been the CEO. And BMW put out this hilarious commercial where he's going home, he's returning home in his Mercedes, and he goes into the garage, and then it opens back up,
and there's a BMW,
and he drives out in a BMW, and it says and it says finally free.
I thought
it was the funniest thing.
Awesome. Yeah. By the way, it is hydrogen. I'm an idiot.
Okay.
Don't forget, Netflix will carry two NFL games tomorrow.
Oops, sorry about that.
That's all right.
We ran out of the one, and keep going.
Steelers Chiefs at noon. Second game, Texans versus the Ravens, and Beyonce will be performing at halftime.
Jason Gay of the Wall Street Journal wrote a piece today that said, is it okay to watch 7 hours of football on Christmas? I'm like, heck to the yeah, it is.
So
yes.
Two things. First off, is Beyonce actually going to perform, or is she just going to say a few words and then leave?
Good question.
That's question number one. And then two, I would be irate if I was Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs now playing three National Football League games in 10 days.
It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. They played last Saturday just so that they could play this game today on Wednesday and give them an extra day. But three games in 10 days
is
unbelievable.
I would throw the red flag. They won't, though.
You know what?
They might, though.
Because, you never know.
Well, Mahomes isn't healthy either. But here's what I would say. I think that I get it, and I'd complain, too. And is it fair? It's not fair. But let's face it. We're all watching and we're demanding, and they're making a blank ton worth of money on us because of that. So this is, they don't get their money just from ticket revenue. It comes from advertising and the packages
that's the NFL
Steelers
is able
just
to get.
Play on Sunday. I think so.
But why does it have to be the Chiefs? I know they have Patrick Mahomes, but they haven't been the most exciting team this year. I mean, I guess you want the biggest name in the NFL playing, but I don't know. I feel like there'd be more exciting teams to watch at this point.
I'm going to win a dinner because my friend Mike Fitzgerald, who's a big Steelers fan, and at the beginning of the season, I wrote this on a refrigerator because I would have forgotten it. We had a little note. He said, we looked at the schedule. He's a big Steelers guy. Grew up in that area. He says, that game against the Packers on Christmas Day will have no meaning whatsoever. Against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Sorry. And I said, no, I think it's going to have a lot of meaning. And I bet him a dinner. And I went,
and you're right.
He didn't have faith in his Steelers this year. Well, so that's where he was coming from.
It's understandable. Yeah. We didn't know was Russell Wilson going
to
be any good?
Yeah. It's amazing.
Is he going to be too old? Guess what?
It would not shock me if they beat the Chiefs tomorrow.
It'll be a good game.
All right. Also, season two of Squid Game will premiere on Thursday on Netflix, if that is your thing. Oh, and this story today. I'm not sure I was aware that the giant crocodile in Crocodile Dundee was real.
I saw the story, too.
But he was. His name was Bert. And he just passed away at the age of 90. They think he was 90 years old. Yeah. He's being remembered as a force of nature beloved by his caretakers at Crocosaurus Cove.
Bert seems like way too innocent of a name for an alligator or a crocodile.
That's what makes it so great.
How many of his caretakers did he eat over the
years? Well, he did not. Thanks for asking. By the way, Crocodile Dundee came out in 1986 and was made for under $10 million.
You know anything of this?
Nothing.
You don't. Okay, thing. That was a movie, but there was another guy named Steve Irwin who was the crocodile. What was he? The crocodile hunter or whatever?
Yeah, I can't remember.
I know about Steve Irwin.
Okay, well, he died. He did.
Yes, I know about
crocodile.
Him.
Right.
Yes, I know
but
all about
no,
him.
No, Crocodile Dundee was a huge.
He did? Yeah. Okay, just checking.
Crikey.
Yeah, you got to watch.
Those were big movies.
Yeah, they were.
Paul Hogan.
Paul Hogan was huge.
And then what's her name? She was actually.
Yeah, they got married for a while and then they got divorced. That year, it became the highest grossing movie of all time in Australia and the second highest in the U.S. during 1986. It was a huge deal. There was Crocodile Dundee 2, which I kind of remember seeing at the drive-in across from Crestwood.
Hmm.
Random thoughts.
It looked like you were trying to recollect there.
It's
like,
funny how your brain works that way, though.
Yeah, you think about it, and then And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. Microsoft put Solitaire and Minesweeper in early versions of Windows to try to teach people how to use the mouse and click. That was the purpose of those two games.
That's pretty funny.
I guess it worked.
Yeah. Yes, it did.
No kidding. That is great. Wrapping up a Sue's News for Christmas Eve. Dan Buff is going to make some holiday movie recommendations coming up next. Something weird just happened outside of the studio. Poor Ethan is working in the, right outside we have the producer's studio where everything is managed. And there's nobody here. I saw John Hancock down on the KMOX side. Brad Young was leaving the building, but nobody is here. I think maybe one news person down at KMOX. And all of a sudden, and this is not something we experience on a daily basis, the lights just all went out. Not here in the studio, but everywhere else in the building. So Ethan's working in the dark.
And he said, well, I thought that there was motion censored. Maybe there weren't enough people, so he was waving his arms. And then it turns out somebody just hit their switch on the way out.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yep. Well, the switch is not nearby.
I thought it was a signal. Get out of here, right?
Maybe.
We're going to wrap things up for this half hour at 5, and then I'm going to play some Christmas music heading into Annie Fry's Christmas special tonight on 97.1 FM Talk. Before we do that, how about some entertainment recommendations from our friend Dan Buffa, who reviews exclusively these days at doseofbuffa.com. Dan, Merry Christmas. How are you this afternoon? Whoop, that's the wrong one. Let's try this.
We're steamrolling towards Christmas.
Yep, it's getting closer, isn't it? And Sue and I were just kind of noticing, like, we're downtown. There's nobody downtown. There's maybe one person walking across the street or something like that. It's just such a weird feeling. So last night, Dan, and this is interesting because Dan and I tend to agree on a lot of things. We've known each other for a long time. I am not an active critic anymore, so we've had, an opportunity over the years to match up top 10 lists and things like that. But last night, Dan, I watched the Bob Dylan movie, A Complete Unknown, which I guess technically may open tonight. I was blown away. I thought it was fantastic. Timothy Chalamet was really good. It was him singing and playing guitar. Also, in fact, James Mangold, the director, says he used, instead of overdubbing it, he used the live vocals from when he was performing.
That's amazing.
Some of these songs. So you didn't like it as much as I did you?
No, I thought it's one of those movies you admire more than you like. For me, I think he did a heck of a job. I think his singing is more impressive than his acting. I'm not a big Chalamet fan, so it's not like I go into the movie like he's Tobey Maguire, and I just really hate him. But he's going to have to do a little more to really impress me. Edward Norton.
Wait a minute.
I thought Edward Norton was great as Pete Seeger. I thought he was just you could feel the empathy pouring out of Edward Norton. And of course, Scoot McNairy playing Woody Guthrie, even in limited scenes. But for me, there was nothing really at stake in the movie. Like I love Mangold's Walk the Line, where you had his drug addiction and his natural rough childhood, and he was just basically chasing June Carter the whole movie. And in Elvis, you kind of had, you know, the Colonel was kind of like his big stepping stone. With Dylan, you just had to get people, hey, this guy's a really good songwriter. Listen to his music. Don't hate on his electric. And so I thought the movie didn't hit as emotionally hard as I thought it was going to. But it is a, it's not a movie that I can, you know, as a Rotten Tomatoes guy, I can never give this a rotten rating. I'm just not as blown away by it as what seems to be the majority.
Well, and that's fair enough. Look, we're not always going to agree on everything. I thought, for me, it was the authenticity. And you could have been 2 minutes into that movie, and I could have said, nope, this ain't working. But I saw Timothy Chalamet ease into this role, and this actress who was in Top Gun, Maverick, who played Joan Baez, was fantastic. Yeah. So I really liked it.
And
our friend Norbert Leo Butz is also in the film, so we're a fan of that. What did you like? What do you like right now that's in the theaters? Did you like Wicked?
You know, I didn't see Wicked. I'm not the kind of person that usually flocks to that genre, but I do have it in my little CCA app. I don't know. I know we're both kind of, what, partial CCA members, so we have. I've had access to this app that has, it's loaded up with all these movies. Yeah. So I have not gotten to Wicked yet, even though I've heard it's great.
Well, I really liked it. I thought it was, but man, talk about, like, if I'm doing a top 10 list at this time of year, which I used to do, both those movies, Wicked and A Complete Unknown, would be at the top of my list for sure. Anything else that you want to mention that's in the theaters right now? I know that you wanted to talk, and I started watching this. I haven't finished the Superman documentary. That's really good.
Yeah, what?
The Christopher Reeve documentary.
Oh, I would love this.
Excellent. It's on, which one is that? Is that on Max?
It's on Max. It actually just hit Max. It's really a well-done documentary. Like, if you've always wondered about, you know, what the impact that he had and what he did once he had this devastating injury, it's great. And also, this takes you into who Christopher Reeve was and how he got that role. And you know, the whole movie just kind of hits really, really hard. But, you know, there's stuff out there. I think that, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of the second Gladiator. I wasn't a huge fan of Juror Number 2. Those are just a couple movies that have been playing around.
All right, hang on. Let me stop you right there. So I didn't see the form, but the latter. I like Juror Number 2. That's the Clint Eastwood movie. I don't think it's, you know, awards worthy or anything like that. It's now streaming. I think I saw it up there. Which platform, Dan? Do you know offhand? Might be Paramount Plus.
I would say Paramount Plus.
So it's a courtroom drama. It's Clint Eastwood's not in the movie. He's directing the movie. I think it's got a pretty solid cast. I like it as an adult drama. You don't have a lot of adult dramas. You know, usually these things tend to veer off in the social justice arena. So I always think of my mom and something that Judy Reardon would like to watch because they don't seem to make movies like that. And I would say Juror Number 2 sort of qualifies for that.
I will say there's an unconventional Amy Adams movie called Night Bitch. That is a movie that once again popped up on my app, and I was like, okay, I got to watch it. And it's great. She plays like this stay-at-home mom who abandoned her career. And of course, Scoot McNairy, who's in about 5 movies a year, pops up in this movie as her husband. But she kind of has a little bit of a reawakening, and it's not what you would expect. But it's like, the Charlize Theron movie where she was a stay-at-home mom and she was overrun. It's kind of like that. So that's a movie theaters. It's kind of like a little unconventional, but I want to remind people about Sing Sing, a movie that's kind of playing on it's probably on your Amazon Prime platform. It's got the great Colman Domingo, who is surely going to be nominated for Best Actor. Because the phenomenal thing about this movie that I didn't know is that the prison had a theater program, and they took on like full blown plays, classical plays. Like,
do you know about
Hamlet.
This, Sue?
I don't
it's,
think
this
so.
This is an interesting movie because they use some of the prisoners in the film, right?
Wow,
it is. I would say 3/4 of the prisoner of the cast you see in the prison are real people who are in Sing Sing, who are in this theater program, who are great. I mean, I want to say, oh gosh, who is the guy who is in Sound of Metal? Paul Racy. He's in it. He plays great. He kind of organizes it all. And Colman Domingo and Clarence Macklin is a guy who's going to be Best Supporting Actor, kind of making the rounds. But it's a movie that has kind of one of those Shawshank kind of impacts. At first, you're not thinking you're watching much, but then as the movie carries on, you see that this theater program is kind of helping these prisoners become human again. It makes them connect to real life and entertain people. And I didn't know it existed. And by the end of the movie, you're just kind of moved by these characters. And it also reminds you how great Colman Domingo is, who I hope does get nominated because he's kind of like, I would say if there's a performance of the year, it's his. It kind of sneaks up on you.
So, Sing Sing's nice. A movie that it came out, but it didn't have much of an impact, but just something that people they shouldn't really forget about.
Anything that you would point to if I asked you your favorite holiday films? I have a couple of movies that I want to talk about that I'm shocked that I'm going to maybe even recommend, but I want to hear your answers here.
Well, there's a new one. There's a from the at least the writer Richard Curtis, who did Love Actually. There's a great animated film on Netflix called That Christmas, where Brian Cox voices Santa Claus, and it's about this crazy Christmas on this little island in England. And the whole cast, so Bill Nitti, they're all in there. If you've seen a Richard Curtis film, the whole cast is full of his character actors. But that's a great little movie. And, of course, Mark, you know I stand on the side of the fence that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. So I've watched not one, not two, but three Christmas-ish enough for me Die Hard movies in the last 24 hours. I am Christmas movied up.
But did you see Carry On Netflix, the ridiculous Jason Bateman movie?
This is the thing, Mark. Another movie I thought was just okay. I thought Bateman, that was a good, ambitious chance for him to play a villain. But this is the biggest quip. Have you seen it?
It's terrible. But I'm going to tell you, if you're looking for something to turn your brain off, I watched the whole thing, you know, but it's awful. It really is.
They sell it. I mean, but this is the problem. They showed him too early. If they would have done the phone booth thing, like they did with Kiefer and Colin Farrell, and they didn't show him. If they showed Jason Bateman like two-thirds into the movie, it would have had a bigger impact than, hey, I'm Marty Bird playing the bad guy.
I know. Wow. It's so hokey. By the end of it, it's really hokey, and you're like rolling your eyes, right?
But I'll tell you what, man. Can I just say something? The guy doesn't work anymore. He's been afflicted by a terrible disease, but I just want to say how much I appreciate Bruce Willis. I am watching, think I've watched all of his movies. I grew up on this guy, and he wasn't like Arnold and Sly. He didn't have big muscles. He didn't know kung fu like Van Damme, but he was just, he was scrappy. You just couldn't put him down. He would just, he'd come back, and he'd always have a great line. He's like, John, you couldn't have had a great little thing, but now I'm crawling through this metal tube.
Yeah,
I'm like a human dinner plate.
Well, Die Hard is simply one of the best movies of all time.
Yes.
I don't think that's not even debatable. And I'm sick and tired of the whole Christmas versus non-Christmas. I'll give that to you if you want. But, some of us, you're younger than Sue and I, Dan. Some of us fell in love with him in the show Moonlighting in the 1980s.
That's exactly right.
And do you believe that if you watch that Netflix, the movies that made us, the Die Hard part, they took them off the poster momentarily when everybody they laughed at the trailer when they showed this comedy guy. Now we think of him as like, oh, what would John McClane do? Take off your shoes and socks and run around the streets and save everybody. He kind of created something. And again, he didn't have big muscles. He didn't have the accent. He was just a guy you could not put down.
Let me make my very risky movie Christmas recommendations. Now, I don't want to be held to this by a family or anything, but I did something a few weeks ago and went down the Bad Santa 2 well. Dan, let me just say this.
Oh, boy.
But I'm tooling around one night. I'm like, I'm looking for something. It was after Thanksgiving. I'm going to watch Bad Santa 2.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. Yes. So Bad Santa 1 comes out in the early 2000s. So first I'm confused. Wait a second. And I remember this came out a few years ago, but I never saw it. So I watched Bad Santa 2. I didn't even like Bad Santa 1. But, man, I loved Bad Santa 2.
I don't understand that.
Wait a second.
Is that true?
It is. No. I mean, so I went back. This is what I did 3 nights ago. I went back and I watched the first one. Yes, Dan, on Paramount Plus. And I kind of look at it through a different lens, and I appreciate both of those movies.
That's interesting.
There's a lot of vulgarity. There's a lot of profanity.
This is the thing, about those movies, is that Billy Bob Thornton makes those movies work. And I think Billy Bob Thornton is kind of like a great bourbon. He's just going to get better. The older that I get, all of his work is just going, oh, man, that guy really has. I'm watching Landman on Paramount Plus. He's great on that. He's a guy who is a real-life Cardinals fan who I know puts little Cardinal dialogue into his role.
He does.
That's
when
funny.
He played Lawyer on Goliath on Prime.
They had lots of Cardinals references. Show.
He told his character, he was like, what did Bob Gibson say the most important thing about pitching was? Strike one. And I know that wasn't in the script.
Oh, of course not.
It was just Billy Bob Thornton.
Dan, I probably told you this story before, but about 10 years ago, I went up to Bill at a Critics' Choice Television Awards before we combined the two. And he's in the middle of A-listers. all kinds of people around. And all I did is said, Bill, have you, and I'd interviewed him before on Camo X, but I said, hey, Bill, have you seen a Cardinals game this year? Because this was in the summer. It was in, you know, June when the awards were. And he locked in on me for, I don't think it was 10 minutes. I've said, it was probably 7 or 8 minutes where we just sat there and talked baseball. And you can feel, you know, like I'm looking at him, I'm listening to him, and there's all these people around me that are trying to look for an opportunity to take a picture or something, but
they're
he wanted to talk baseball.
And Reardon just cracked the code. He's like,
well, you know, that's an effective way. You get in with someone like that and you start talking about something they love. And,
Mark,
you know,
I'll tell you this much, man. It's around Christmas time. I just want to say how thankful I am to you for having me on all this show all these times. And I'm not as top shelf with the interviews as you are, but I always try to make the people I'm interviewing laugh. Like, I made Channing Tatum laugh because he was in L.A. and he had sirens in the back and he was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, man, this is St. Louis. That's like church bells. And I just made him laugh. And the whole interview. So I'm not as top shelf as you are, but I try to make my.
Oh, you do a good job. And Channing's he actually is a really good dude.
It's fun, though, right?
It is fun. And you're awesome. You've been a great contributor, and I'm glad you came in here on Christmas Eve. You're wrong about a complete unknown, but that's okay, Dan. Every once in a while, you're wrong. Have a great Christmas, Buffa.
I'll say this much. You were right about 1917. It just took 2 or 3 viewings for me to really get the impact of that. So give me some time.
There you go. Sometimes a second viewing helps. Bad Santa sort of did it for me. Dan, have a great Christmas.
And marinate.
We'll see you. Hey, Merry Christmas. Sue Thomas and I are huge fans of Raul Malo and this band, The Mavericks. They're the best acts you'll ever see in your life live. I promise you that. They did a Christmas record a few years ago called Hey, Merry Christmas. This is the title track. I'm not going to play this one, but I have another Mavericks track for the next hour. When I play some Christmas music here, I get to be a DJ for the first time since right around 1987. Now, I reached out to a bunch of my musical friends. I have pretty cool musical friends, very, very talented. And I said, do you have any Christmas music? My friend Anthony D'Amato, who is also in a band called Fantastic Cat, said, yeah, how about this? He sends me a couple of songs. Emily Wallace, who's fantastic from right here, sends me a song. I check in with Neil Salsic. Nope. No Christmas music for Neil Salsic. He's got nothing for me to offer, but he's on the phone with me right now on 97.1 FM Talk. You got a year to fix this, Neil Salsic. You know that, right?
Yeah, man. It's jumping to the top of my list unexpectedly. But I do want to say, I never thought I'd hear the Mavericks on 97.1. So, like, that's about the coolest thing ever.
Oh, I play the Mavericks bumps all the time. We love, Sue and I have that in common for sure. And if you've never heard their Christmas record, it's excellent. It's really good. I'm going to play.
I will be tuned in, Mark. I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited too. I have some really cool, some folks you will know also that are featured in the next hour. But you've got a really cool gig coming up on a week from tonight on New Year's Eve at Del Mar Hall. Let's talk about that.
Yes. That's what I've been busy with. Instead of recording Christmas music, we're preparing a set list that we do every year. This one time only, that's the greatest songs of the 90s, in our opinion, the stuff we grew up on. So that's our New Year's tradition.
And I didn't know. So are you doing Mighty Pine stuff too or not?
No. This is the only time of the year this is like the one time, you know, where we put on this different musical costume and we just let loose and sing our hearts out to all the songs we grew up hearing on the radio.
Is that an all ages show by any chance?
I should know that. I don't
I'll
think
check.
It is.
I'll
frankly.
Check.
It's kind of a party zone on New Year's Eve, you know? So,
well, because I think my daughter would know a lot of those songs and she would like it, but I might have to sneak in and see you next Tuesday night. That's a lot of fun. I was unaware of that. So that makes it even cooler.
Yeah, I'm looking at the set list right now, so I can say we've of course got some classics we do every year, but every year we bring in some new songs, and we'll be featuring the Funky Butt Brass Band Horns on some Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Oh yeah,
which we're really
there you
excited
go.
About. We have a lot of musical guests that we bring in, like Emily Wallace has in the past been featured. This year we'll have Beth Bombara, who's a fantastic singer-songwriter in St. Louis. She'll be doing some Cranberries. A lot of hip-hop. We've got MC Trey, who's an amazing St. Louis-based rapper, and we'll be doing, like, some cool medleys of classic 90s hip-hop. So, you know, It's going to be
sounds
incredible.
Like a blast. Neil, if you're not familiar with Neil, he had a great run last year on The Voice on NBC, but he's got an outstanding band that I'm a big fan of here in St. Louis called The Mighty Pines. And let me ask you this, because we were talking a few weeks ago. Neil performed at my dear friend Jeff Drew's party. I kind of was the musical producer for that particular show. But we were talking music, and you said you got a new record coming out. I just noticed that this is a new song here.
Do you realize just how much?
Called Thank You. I have not checked it out. I just had Ethan pull that. But your record that was out a few years ago was produced by Steve Berlin from Los Lobos, one of my favorite bands. And he's working with you again on this one, right?
Yes, yes. We have wrapped up the recording and it is being mixed currently. Our greatest Christmas present this year is Santa going to bring us the final mixes tomorrow. We don't know. But We are dying to hear it, and we're so proud of the new album, and that will be coming sometime in 2025, so stay tuned.
Well, I'm excited to hear it. What's it like working with a guy like Steve? Because I was asking about this a few weeks ago. I'm just such a big fan of Los Lobos and some of the work that he's done over the years, even with a band called The Blasters. He was a part of, you know, the Alvin Brothers doing that in the 80s as well. But what does he bring to the Mighty Pines and to a project like this?
Well, it's twofold answer. One, as a producer, he really just brings the experience and the expertise. So, for example, in the studio, he just knows all these studio tricks that we would never think of. But he's a studio hound, and he kind of like it's his jam, it's his vibe in there. Yeah. He has endless endurance. So we're all getting like, you know, looking at our watches after we've been there for, you know, 10 hours on the eighth day or something. And he just has unlimited endurance and unlimited ideas for how to spice things up. It's really cool. But what he also brings, which I love, is really story time from the rock scene of the 80s and 90s with the Blasters and Los Lobos. And I just love to hear him tell all these stories about all the famous people that he's met that I look up to that are actually total jerks. And he'll
I'm sure.
Oh my God. It's actually kind of heartbreaking, but it's also fascinating to hear him talk, and I'll never get tired. And stuff like the Mavericks, that whole sort of, whatever you want to call it, 80s into the 90s, roots, punk, rock, country, underground. Yeah. I mean, he was like all in the middle of that, and it's so cool to hear him talk about it.
Yeah, well, that's why they say never meet your heroes, right? Because you get stories like that. I know that you were listening when Dan Buff and I were talking about the Dylan movie. He wasn't as big a fan as I was, but I thought A Complete Unknown was fantastic. For a guy like you, a songwriter, a musician, an artist, you're going to love it, Neil. You're going to love this movie.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm a Dylan freak. I didn't realize that he was doing the singing. So I heard that in your conversation with Dan. So that's like so cool. But I'm just a total Dylan head. I can't wait. And when I was doing The Voice last year, my total fantasy that sadly didn't come true was that maybe I would be cast in a movie because of my singing chops, where I could play, you know, some sort of famous musician. But sadly, I don't have the hair for all of that. That's the thing. All
they
those
have
guys,
wigs.
I have the. Okay, great. You know, let's have Hollywood do me up because I want to test my acting chops out someday.
Awesome. Hey, have a great Christmas. I'm going to go out here with the Mavericks. Go check out the Mighty Pines special 90s tribute act or band night, I guess, at the Del Mar Hall next Tuesday. I'm going to show up at that because that sounds fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, Neil.
It's been amazing. Thanks, Mark.
Get more at 971talk.com.